gentlemen, good morning. It is fan-freaking-tastic Friday. Fabulous Friday. So excited to be here. So excited to be alive on this beautiful, frosty Idaho morning. At least it's a frosty Idaho morning for me. I'm sure it's a beautiful day wherever in the country you are calling in from. I'm excited. Today we have some very profound truth. I hope you're ready to expand your mind with me. I hope you're ready to be inspired as we truly do go through some inspirational ideas here in this amazing book, Think and Grow Rich. But first, a short recap of yesterday. We were introduced to the 6 steps in acquiring riches, and I just want to cover those real quick. First, be definite as to the amount. There is a psychological reason for definiteness, which will be described in a subsequent chapter. Second, determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money you desire. Third, establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money you desire. Fourth, create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you are ready or not, to put this plan into action. And fifth, write out a clear, concise statement of the amount of money you intend to acquire. Name the time limit for its acquisition. State what you intend to give in return for the money, and describe the plan clearly through which you intend to accumulate it. And last, sixth, read your written statement aloud twice daily, once just before retiring at night and once after arising in the morning. As you read, see, and feel, and believe yourself already in possession of the money. It is important that you follow the instructions described in these 6 steps. It is especially important that you observe and follow the instructions in the 6th paragraph. You may complain that it is impossible for you to see yourself in possession of money before you actually have it. Here is where a burning desire will come to your aid. If you truly desire money so keenly that your desire is an obsession, you will have no difficulty in convincing yourself that you will acquire it. The object is to want money and to become determined to have it, that you convince yourself that you will have it. Only those who become money conscious ever accumulate great riches. Money consciousness means that the mind has become so thoroughly saturated with the desire for money that one can see oneself already in possession of it. To the uninitiated who has not been schooled in the working principles of the human mind, these instructions may appear impractical. It may be helpful to all who fail to recognize the soundness of the 6 steps to know that the information they convey was received from Andrew Carnegie, who began as a laborer in the steel mills but managed, despite his humble beginning, to make these principles yield him a fortune of considerably more than $100 million. It may be of further help to know that the 6 steps here recommended were carefully scrutinized by the late Thomas A. Edison, who placed his stamp of approval upon them as being not only the steps essential for the accumulation of money, but necessary for the attainment of any definite goal. The steps call for no hard labor. They call for no sacrifice. They do not require one to become ridiculous or credulous. To apply them calls for no great amount of education, but the successful application of these 6 steps does call for sufficient imagination to enable one to see and to understand that accumulation of money cannot be left to chance, good fortune, and luck. One must realize that all who have accumulated great fortunes first did a certain amount of dreaming, hoping, wishing, desiring, and planning before they acquired money. You may as well know right here that you can never have riches in great quantities unless you can work yourself into a white heat of desire for money and actually believe you will possess it. You may as well know also that every great leader from the dawn of civilization down to the present was a dreamer. Christianity is the greatest potential power in the world today because its founder was an intense dreamer who had the vision and the imagination to see realities in their mental and spiritual form before they had been transmuted into physical form. If you do not see riches, great riches, in your imagination, you will never see them in your bank balance. Never in the history of America has there been so great an opportunity for the practical dreamers as now exists. The 6-year economic collapse has reduced all men substantially to the same level. A new race is about to be run. The stakes represent huge fortunes which will be accumulated within the next 10 years. The rules of the race have changed because now we live in a changed world that definitely favors the masses, those who had but little or no opportunity to win under the conditions existing during the Depression when fear paralyzed growth and development. We who are in this race for riches should be encouraged to know that this changed world in which we live is demanding new ideas, new ways of doing things, new leaders, new inventions, new methods of teaching, new methods of marketing, new books, new literature, new features for the radio, new ideas for moving pictures. Back of all this demand for new and better things, there is one quality which one must possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants, and a burning desire to possess it. The business depression marked the death of one age and the birth of another. This changed world requires practical dreamers who can and will put their dreams into action. The practical dreamers have always been and always will be the pattern makers of civilization. We who desire to accumulate riches should remember the real leaders of the world always have been men who harnessed and put into practical use the intangible, unseen forces of unborn opportunity and have converted those forces or impulse of thought into skyscrapers, cities, factories, airplanes, automobiles, and every form of convenience that makes life more pleasant. Tolerance and an open mind are practical necessities of the dreamer of today. Those who are afraid of new ideas are doomed before they start. Never has there been a time more favorable to pioneers than the present. True, there is no wild and woolly West to be conquered as in the days of the covered wagon, but there is a vast business, financial, and industrial world to be remolded and directed along new and better lines. In planning to acquire your share of the riches, let no one influence you to scorn the dreamer. To win the big stakes in this changed world, you must catch the spirit of the great pioneers of the past, whose dreams have given to civilization all that it has of value, the spirit which serves as the lifeblood of our own country, your opportunity and mine to develop and market our talents. Let us not forget, Columbus dreamed of an unknown world, staked his life on the existence of such a world, and discovered it. Copernicus, the great astronomer, dreamed of a multiplicity of worlds and revealed them. No one denounced him as impractical after he had triumphed. Instead, the world worshipped at his shrine, thus proving once more that success requires no apologies, failure permits no alibis. If the thing you wish to do is right and you believe in it, go ahead and do it. Put your dreams across and never mind what they say if you meet with temporary defeat. For they perhaps do not know that every failure brings with it the seed of an equivalent success. Henry Ford, poor and uneducated, dreamed of a horseless carriage, went to work with what tools he possessed, without waiting for opportunity to favor him, and now evidence of his dream belts the entire earth. He has put more wheels into operation than any man who ever lived because he was not afraid to back his dreams. Thomas Edison dreamed of a lamp that could be operated by electricity, began where he stood to put his dream into action, and despite more than 10,000 failures, he stood by that dream until he made it a physical reality. Practical dreamers do not quit. Whelan dreamed of a chain of cigar stores, transformed his dream into action, and now the United Cigar Stores Company occupies the best corners in America. Lincoln dreamed of freedom for the slaves, put his dream into action, and barely missed living to see a united North and South translate his dream into reality. The Wright brothers dreamed of a machine that would fly through the air. Now one may see evidence all over the world that they dreamed soundly. Marconi dreamed of a system for harnessing the intangible forces of the ether. Evidence that he did not dream in vain may be found in every wireless and radio in the world. Moreover, Marconi's dream brought the humblest cabin and the most stately manor house side by side. It made the people of every nation on earth backdoor neighbors. It gave the President of the United States a medium by which he may talk to all the people of America at one time and on short notice. It may interest you to know that Marconi's friends had him taken into custody and examined in a psychopathic hospital when he announced that he had discovered a principle through which he could send messages through the air without the aid of wires or other direct physical means of communication. The dreamers of today fare better. The world has become accustomed to new discoveries. Nay, it has shown a willingness to reward the dreamer who gives the world a new idea. The greatest achievement was, at first and for a time, but a dream. The oak sleeps in the acorn, the bird waits in the egg, and in the highest vision of the soul, a waking angel stirs. Dreams are the seedlings of reality. Awake, arise, and assert yourself, you dreamers of the world. Your star is now in the ascendancy. The world depression brought the opportunity you have been waiting for. It taught people humility, tolerance, and open-mindedness. The world is filled with an abundance of opportunity which the dreamers of the past never knew. A burning desire to be and to do is the starting point from which the dreamer must take off. Dreams are not born of indifference, laziness, or lack of ambition. The world no longer scoffs at the dreamer nor calls him impractical. If you think it does, take a trip to Tennessee and witness what a dreamer president has done in the way of harnessing and using the great water power of America. A score of years ago, such a dream would have seemed like madness. You have been disappointed. You have undergone defeat during the Depression. You have felt the great heart within you crushed until it bled. Take courage, for these experiences have tempered the spiritual metal of which you are made. They are assets of incomparable value. Remember, too, that all who succeed in life get off to a bad start and pass through many heartbreaking struggles before they arrive. The turning point in the lives of those who succeed usually comes at the moment of some crisis through which they are introduced to their other selves. John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, which is among the finest of all English literature, after he had been confined in prison and sorely punished because of his views on the subject of religion. O. Henry discovered the genius which slept within his brain after he had met with great misfortune and was confined in a prison cell in Columbus, Ohio. Being forced through misfortune to become acquainted with his other self and to use his imagination, he discovered himself to be a great author instead of a miserable criminal and outcast. Strange and varied are the ways of life, and stranger still are the ways of infinite intelligence, through which men are sometimes forced to undergo all sorts of punishment before discovering their own brains and their own capacity to create useful ideas through imagination. Edison, the world's greatest inventor and scientist, was a tramp telegraph operator. He failed innumerable times before he was driven, finally, to the discovery of the genius which slept within his brain. Charles Dickens began by pasting labels on blacking pots. The tragedy of his first love penetrated the depths of his soul and converted him into one of the world's truly great authors. That tragedy produced first David Copperfield, then a succession of other works that made this a richer and better world for all who read his books. Disappointment over love affairs generally has the effect of driving men to drink and women to ruin, and this because most people never learn the art of transmuting their strongest emotions into dreams of a constructive nature. Helen Keller became deaf, dumb, and blind shortly after birth. Despite her greatest misfortune, she has written her name indelibly in the pages of history of the great. Her entire life has served as evidence that no one is defeated until defeat has been accepted as a reality. Robert Burns was an illiterate country lad. He was cursed by poverty and grew up to be a drunkard in the bargain. The world was made better for his having lived because he clothed beautiful thoughts in poetry and thereby plucked a thorn and planted a rose in its place. Booker T. Washington was born in slavery, handicapped by race and color. Because he was tolerant, had an open mind at all times on all subjects, and was a dreamer, he left his impress for good on an entire race. Beethoven was deaf, Milton was blind, but their names will last as long as time endures because they dreamed and translated their dreams into organized thought. Before passing to the next chapter, kindle anew in your mind the fire of hope, faith, courage, and tolerance. If you have these states of mind and a working knowledge of the principles described, all else that you need will come to you when you are ready for it. Let Emerson state the thought in these words: every proverb, every book, every byword that belongs to thee for aid and comfort shall surely come home through open or winding passages. Every friend whom not thy fantastic will, but the great and tender soul in thee craveth, shall lock thee in his embrace. There is a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive it. No one is ready for a thing until he believes he can acquire it. The state of mind must be belief, not mere hope or wish. Open-mindedness is essential for belief. Closed minds do not inspire faith, courage, and belief. Remember, no more effort is required to aim high in life, to demand abundance and prosperity, than is required to accept misery and poverty. A great poet has correctly stated this universal truth through these lines: I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you have set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I worked for a menial's hire, only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid. Profound truth stated in these pages, my friends, and I am enthused as I am reminded of the incredible, miraculous feats that have been performed throughout history. One of the things that I always remind myself when I learn about Henry Ford and him belting the earth with motor vehicles, or Thomas Edison and, you know, all the inventions that he brought into reality, or the Wright brothers putting a big heavy piece of metal into the air, flying through the air and carrying people around. I love learning and reminding myself of these incredible feats that have been accomplished, because it opens up my mind to ponder the possibilities that may be existent in my life, and I really start to understand that, you know, is it possible? I mean, my goodness, is it possible for me to generate a few thousand dollars a month residual income? Is it possible for you to do the same? Is it possible for us to help 10, 20, 30, hundreds of people, thousands of people generate thousands of dollars a month residual income? I mean, it's absolutely staggering when we start to ponder what is possible in comparison to what has already been done. And I am, for one, grateful for the dreamers of the past. I'm grateful that they did not stop in the face of adversity and, criticism. And they pushed on through all of that, through temporary setback, through seemingly insurmountable obstacles, and left for us, written in the pages of history, examples to follow. I just love these dreamers. So I'm going to open up the lines here. Star 6 to jump on the line.
Hey, Paul?
Yes, sir.
Oscar, New Jersey.
Hey, Oscar.
Yeah, this is a question. Not a question, actually. Doc brought it up the other day. The copy of the book I have is missing paragraphs and paragraphs of what you just read. If you've got time, sometimes this weekend, can you take the number, whatever the book you're reading from, and to email it to me so I can go out and get that version, because I'm missing some powerful paragraphs in this word, the one I just bought this weekend.
Yeah, and I think the key, Oscar, is to look in the front of your book, whatever book you're going to buy, and make sure it says, this is the 1939 edition of Think and Grow Rich.
1939 edition, let me write that down, 1939.
Yeah, yep.
1939 edition. All right, because I'm missing some wonderful paragraphs. All right, thank you.
You bet. Don't be shy.
Wow.
Star 6. Hey, good morning, Rick.
Good morning, everybody, this morning. Good morning. I get to go first, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I like to do? I'll tell you a little secret, is listen to everybody, get some information from everybody, then I respond based on that. It's a little secret I have. But here's what I want to say something. Here's what's fascinating. People are predictable. We go through cycles. And, you know, this started back, this whole movement, the personal development movement, started back, I think I mentioned this before, right around the Depression time. And what emerged after that was the development that took place after that was another boom, okay? It's a boom in creativity. And so when you think about, when you have a starting point in race car, if you ever notice, if anybody ever watched a race car, I'm probably not facing you right now, but bear with me for a second. There's times when you see a car sit back and in the back, and what they do, they get a run. They get a run up on the other vehicle, so they stay back and get a run on the other one, and the car is in front of them, but the guy that's sitting in the back gets a run, and then you end up passing the other guys. Here's what happened. When you're shooting from the bottom down like a rocket, you end up being able to propel further along than, say, somebody starting a little bit out ahead of you. And so you're able to what's happening right now is exactly what's happening now is for society to catch up. It's giving us a time to catch up to what's about to come. In other words, If only a few people get out ahead, the society will implode, okay? If a few people get out ahead of what's happening, what's about to happen now because of what happened in the last 50 years. I mean, more development has happened in the last 50 years than the entire mankind as we know it. But what I'm saying is, look at this as an opportunity to grow. And be a part of something, or you're going to get left behind. And what is even more important is that you have to think about it in a family sense. Start from there. Think about in yourself where you want to be, and who is your model that you're trying to, somebody that will pull you, because it's slowing down right now, so the weakest can catch up. And the weakest is the most important part. It's the most important part of this whole link, of this whole universe link, the connection that we have all across the world. Every person, every part of this world is here for a reason, and it's all needed for us to function as a society, as a people, as human beings. So understand what's happening. This is a very incredible time for mankind. And we're slowing down now because we're getting ready for a boom. And so we need the rest of others to catch up. And so what's happening here, what you're seeing here is necessary. What you're doing, and you see how the call is growing, the amount of people that are coming on these calls in the morning is growing. You're doing a wonderful thing. We all are partaking. Give yourself a pat on the back. This is necessary. You need to understand right now that it is so important. Sharpen up your saw and realize you don't have to stop doing anything, okay? Don't stop what you're doing. What you start doing is add a little bit more, read a little bit more books, listen to more things. And what you end up finding out is this, you'll just push other things aside. If you concentrate on trying to stop watching TV or you know, the average person watch 4 hours of TV, that's a shame. But if you start to say, let me read another book, let me contribute to this cause in the morning, what you're going to find out is you start to pick up a new habit. And they said the new habit was forming about 21 days, 3 weeks to, you know, whatever it works for you. But that's what's going to start happening. You start focusing on that, And pretty soon, you're not going to want to even focus on anything else but trying to build yourself. I took up a lot of time on that, but I think it was important to say that.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate those thoughts. And I appreciate one of the things that I noticed and one of the things you were talking about is the time in which we live. And as we're going through this chapter, Napoleon Hill, it was the Depression. And I read through those parts on the Depression, and it's amazing how they really are very close, you know, or apply to the time in which we live. Economy's down, people are scared, jobs are down, but the opportunity exists as did it exist back then. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
It's Debbie Wood. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Debbie Wood, live. Welcome
live
to the call.
Live and in person. So excited I got on this morning. I wanted to say that, and as a matter of fact, it's so funny the way things happen because I was just thinking about this morning, that several years ago, somebody gave me an affirmation to say about, you know, just keep it going over and over in your head. And I did. And that affirmation was, I attract people and situations into my reality that I can prosper with to create seven-figure incomes. And I say that all the time, over and over and over again. I don't even know I'm saying it anymore. And look what I attracted. You, everybody on this call, everybody in my organization. I mean, it's working. You concentrate on it, you focus on it, and it happens. It just happens. I mean, you know the people that are in my life now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
That's
pretty
amazing.
Exciting. And I thought that fit in with what we were talking about this morning, so I just decided to jump on.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us. And it, it falls right in line with, you know, the six steps in accumulating riches. First, be definite as to what you want. Know what you want. And that's what you've done there, and you focused on it, and it's come into your life. And it's going to continue to come into your life. So that's amazing.
I know it.
Star 6, any comments on being a dreamer, on what is possible? Any comments or questions on the six steps? Any thoughts come into your mind as we've gone through the content of the call today? Or the opening content, I should say.
Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. This is Neville. And how are you today, young man?
Neville, doing well. How are you today?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
That is great.
You know, she just said her affirmation, but I didn't get it down. What did she say? I attract people into my reality. Could she come back and repeat that, please?
Debbie, are you still there? She may have hopped off. I know she works in the morning, and she may have stepped out to jump on. Oh, there you are.
I'm here.
Could you repeat that affirmation one more time for
Neville.
Us?
Sorry, I was actually on my way back to my desk when I heard my name. the affirmation that I just said?
Yeah.
It's I attract people and situations into my reality that I can partner with to create seven-figure incomes. Can you tell I know it by heart?
Okay.
I attract people and situations. And situations into my reality.
Okay. That I can partner with and create seven-figure income, right?
That's
excellent.
It.
Thank you, my love.
You're very welcome.
All right, Paul. That was great. And listen this morning, and like someone just mentioned, it took place in the Depression. It took place in the Depression. And we are in an extremely depressive state right now. And, The world seems to be in a depressive state. But we are not in a depressive state because we are taking action. Just like the men in those days took action. We're not yet in their elite status, but with the action we're taking today will hopefully will generate for us seven-figure income as time goes on. So this is the right time, because this is the time when the universe has put us together. I heard Doc Fran said something yesterday about what you want, you speak for it, and your wish is your command. And your wish is your command. And also, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we have been headed into this group for a long time. It took you, the young man, Paul, to coalesce us together on this call. But we have, it's been a dream, an idea, a wish that we have had out there. And we placed our vibes, our vibration out into the ether. And it has brought us to this point. And so as we learn on this point and we grow and we take action, maybe massive action, then we will be able to attain anything that we wish for. So, Paul, I thank you for this call. It's great, and I'll be listening each morning and listen to all the brilliantness that goes on from all the people on this call. You know, you guys are just magnificent. So let me give you kudos and thank you all today.
Neville, thank you so much. Those were very wise comments and very well said. Really appreciate your contribution to this call. Thank you.
All right.
Hi, good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Dorenza from New York, and I just wanted to piggyback on to what you were saying in terms of the reading of the different people, the men and women who didn't make excuses, but they actually just moved forward, and in adversity, they were able to conquer great achievement. And excuses is a little phrase that I had learned a long time ago, and it says that excuses are the tools of the incompetent. Those who specialize in them seldom excel in anything else. Thank you. Back to you.
Dorenza, that is excellent. Excuses are the tools of the incompetent. Can you repeat that one more time, please?
Excuses are the tools of the incompetent. Those who specialize in them seldom excel in anything else.
Seldom excel in anything else. I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And how true that is. There's the statement, we can make excuses or we can make money, but you can't make both. You could also say you can make excuses or achieve greatness. You can't do both. excuses are worthless. So thank you, Dorenza, for pointing that out. Really appreciate that. And you mentioned the great men and women who have accomplished great things despite setbacks. Helen Keller, folks. Think about Helen Keller. Blind, deaf. I mean, how easy would it have been for her to just give up on life? But did she? Did she make excuses? Did she say, oh, I can't hear, I can't see? No, she propelled herself to greatness in the world. We all know who she is. We all, you know, are aware of her contribution. It's just, that's just an astounding example to me of, you know, triumph and not making excuses despite huge, I mean, what would appear to be huge obstacles to get through. Many of us, you know, the challenges we have, I remember that quote that Melvin has shared several times on this call where he said, it's easy to complain about your shoes or not having any shoes until you meet the man or the woman who doesn't have any feet. And I really like that quote because it does illustrate that our challenges oftentimes are not as big as those that others face. Anyone else? Star 6. Yes, who's that?
This is Anita from Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, Anita. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. I had a leader once, this is kind of bold, and what he said about excuses, he said, excuses are like a butt. We all have one, and they all stink. And it just always stuck with me because it was funny. And I would like to say, I have tried so many things, I mean, so many things in my life, and my husband goes, you're not trying anything else. And I go, in my head I'm going, oh, yes, I am, because I'm going to find the vehicle that I can drive without, you know, without having to struggle, you know. And I haven't told him that I'm even doing anything different, because now I've got, so I keep it to myself. And whenever, when I make it bigger, I will tell him about it. But until then, I'm just going to keep it to myself because of the negativity feedback I would get. And it's just like I'm keeping on, keeping on. And he's not, nobody's going to stop me. Anyway, that's what I have to say this morning. I just remember the thing about excuses in it, and I thought it was kind of cute.
That is kind of cute, Anita. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for your shining example of knowing where you're headed despite temporary setbacks, and your state of mind where you know you're going to succeed. You know it. I can hear that in your voice, and listening to you talk reminded me of Edwin C. Barnes and Marshall Field, the two gentlemen we learned about yesterday or the day before. Marshall Field's building burns down. Everyone else's buildings burn down in Chicago, and they all leave and run away. And he says, right there where those ashes are, I will build the greatest store. You reminded me of those two great individuals there with your mindset. So thank you for that example.
Thank you, and it will happen.
It will.
Hey, Paul.
Good morning.
Hey,
Paul.
Guys, I want to follow up on Anita's comment. And, you know, one of my favorite expressions is that all excuses are equal. Now, we always think that the excuse that we are using to not do and prosper and move forward towards our goal is, of course, the greatest excuse and the only logical thing, and it's the real reason why I'm not allowing myself to flourish and prosper. But there's only one reason to do what you know you need to do, and that's because that's the only thing that continues to move you towards the stated goal. And the thing that I loved about what we read this morning is the very last paragraph, and this is probably the most important nugget in this whole section. And that paragraph is, remember, no more effort is required to aim high in life, to demand abundance and prosperity, than is required to accept misery and poverty. We get what we believe we deserve, and we spend a great deal of effort reaffirming the correctness of our beliefs. That is the source of all conflicts on this earth, is the intrinsic need and demand of every being to be right in his or her beliefs. And the last thing I want to leave you with is, you know, we are all in every endeavor in life together. And when we join companies, all of us are in companies which requires the codependence of all of the participants in that particular company. And so when one is a member of a company and refuses to take the action that is, in fact, the required action to move not only yourself forward within the framework of that company, but also everyone else associated with you in that company. They all benefit, we all benefit when each and every one of us makes the commitment to do our part. Many hands make light work. If you're in a company and you're refusing to take the actions necessary to move yourself and that company forward in its purpose, then you are being totally counterproductive, not only to your own goals and aspirations, but to those of everyone on whom your actions are a blessing. So back to you, Paul.
Excellent comments, Doc. Thank you.
Can you
what was that?
Can you repeat the no effort is required?
Yeah, no more effort is required to aim high in life, to demand abundance and prosperity, than is required to accept misery and poverty.
Thank you.
Melvin, you had some comments, my friend. Come on out.
Well, I was just going to comment on I didn't get the name of what the young lady said just a little while ago in terms of holding on to her beliefs in spite of her mate. And I thought that was so important because so many of us are going to have to go through that or are going through that and understand that many people think they're helping you to try to tell you not to attempt this or to do that because you've never done it before. And they can't have the same, or they may not have the same belief that you have. And you've got to maintain that for yourself. I mean, the people that I have come across in all the years that I have done the various programs that have sold themselves out and given up because of this belief that they've got to have their partner's agreement or feeling the same way or going the same path. There's many cases that will not be the case, and oftentimes you will find that that partner will join you once you've stood your ground and you've accomplished and achieved something. Now it's, hey, I knew you could do it all the time. And so it can take a lot of courage. It can take a lot of belief in yourself and staying steadfast and keep moving forward in spite of. So very proud of her and what she had to say there. Back to you all, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin. Appreciate your knowledge and experience in that area and your comments. Absolutely appreciate those.
I thank you for that, too. This is Anita again, Paul.
Yes.
When I was listening to him, I thought how true that was, and I relate that looking at some mates, you know, in Christianity, like there might be a wife or a husband that in their marriage sometime or another, maybe they accept the Lord, and the other one doesn't, and they'll continue, like, to go to church by themselves. And I've been there and done that before, you know, like I've went and went and went. And sooner or later, you know, despite the fact that you're going by yourself and you're believing that someday your mate will believe what you believe or at least accept the fact that you believe what you believe, you know, and continue on by yourself. And it's hard out there as a mate to do that. But if you continue long enough, you know, the Lord honors that, and you might not see that for 30 years, but sooner or later, your thoughts are honored, your prayers are honored, and I'm hoping that's the way it is, you know, with my business, that sooner or later that he will accept it. But I've seen men and women before that just go on by themselves, and I thank the gentleman that said what he said because it really meant a lot to me.
Awesome. That's definitely a power of this call. Connect with people who know what you're going through and can give wise words of counsel there. So, yeah, thank you, Melvin and Anita, for sharing those thoughts. Anyone else? Star 6, any other thoughts? Would love to hear from you.
If nobody else will come out, I'll come out and give you something practical in your business today. Practical, something that you can use. Something that you go out and use, because I think you can picture this. There is such a thing as pacing. And what I mean by that, we use the word rapport. And if somebody can't picture what that is in their mind, they're not going to be able to follow you. And so here's an example of what I'm going to say. If I go up to somebody and talk about my business, and it's no different than me talking to somebody about basketball and they have no interest whatsoever, or talking to somebody about yoga and they don't have no idea how powerful yoga is. And in other words, if I start talking about yoga to somebody who has no interest and they have no idea what the power of yoga can do for them, then I'm not pacing them. Okay, what I mean by that, I'm not giving them the ability to swim up next to me so I can lead them. First, you have to connect with somebody. Connect on the level. The communication is a response. It's not so much what the right thing to say, but asking the right questions. When you can make an affinity with someone, when you can connect with someone, build a bridge, you can lead them. I've heard even on this call by many leaders on this call making their own limitations. Said you can take the horse to the water, but you can't let them drink it. That's a limitation. That's an own limitation in your mind. Because we have seen people who have created influence. And what's the difference between somebody who can recruit one person after talking to 10? What's the difference that person can recruit all 10 of them? You understand what I'm saying? If you create your own limitation, you are, even on this call with super powerful leaders, create your own limitations in your mind. The mind is still very powerful. You have to forget that. But remember this. If you can make an affinity is making a connection with somebody, something they're familiar with, and you can get them excited, you can then lead them. You can lead them. They will follow you. They will start to follow you. It's very important that we understand this, okay? Get to the person something about what they like. Then they will be able to make that connection. Communication is what? It's the response. It's not about what you're saying. It's what somebody else respond back to you. That is the real lesson to understand. You can use this in your business. Look for this. Look for this. You don't ever have to worry about what to say. You don't have to be programmed. If you're always programming the canned response, then you're not being creative. And you will get stuck, forever be stuck. So listen for a response. And once you can respond to that person, you create an affinity. They will say, oh, yeah, you live in such and such. Yeah, you know, I used to live over there. This, that, and the other conversation, they go on and you soften it up. What you're really doing is creating, is cultivating, making that ground fertile. So when you plant a seed, it will stick. And believe me, if you start believing this, things can be amazing what can happen. Because I can tell you, right now, I don't need to recruit the 10,000 people. I can connect with 6 people and I can make them 100%. I'm making 100% connection on everybody because I listened for a response. I learned that through a success of series called NLP by Robert, I believe it's John C. Moore and Joseph O'Connor. And it gave me such a clear understanding. Introducing NLP, and it's incredible because right now you're increasing your vision and you're getting a better understanding of what that is, okay? And so I believe that can help you in your business. Listen for a response. That's the communication. You don't have to be frustrated or they don't understand it, they don't know what they can do. You're not. It's no different than you trying to tell somebody, hey, about basketball and they get nothing about it, about yoga, they don't know nothing about it, about a car, they're not interested in it, but you can lead people. You can lead people. If you believe that, more things will happen in your business. Thank you very much. I hope that helps.
Thank you, Rick. Always appreciate your willingness to jump out there and share with us. Thank you very much. Who else? Star 6. Any thoughts on what we've been talking about today in the chapter? Any thoughts on comments that have been made so far? Some profound stuff. I love Doc Fran pointing out that last paragraph. Remember, no more effort is required to aim high in life, to demand abundance and prosperity, than is required to accept misery and poverty. Is that true? Is that a belief that you want to have in your life? Something to think about for sure. Star 6, come on out. Or we can take each a deep breath and meditate together for a few moments in silence.
This is so unusual. This is Marlies.
Hey, Marlies, how are you?
Yes. See, I expect Dana and Melvin to come back in. It's just so comfortable to just sit back and enjoy everyone's comments. It's just always so inspiring and positive and, yeah, it just kind of opens your heart that you sometimes don't feel like talking. You just want to enjoy, you know, listening to everyone. But I guess I just kind of jump in. But also, this also has brought up hearing about Anita, and it's not just a spouse or mate or the immediate people that we are dealing with, but that's another reason for us to be able to really be careful whom we are sharing our wildest dreams and aspirations with, because of those particular people, you know, who cannot dream with you, and they do not have that expansive mind because they cannot see it for themselves, and therefore they want to keep you down, and they don't want to see it for you either, for whatever reason. But sometimes too, it may be jealousy, it may be envy, still some of those ego feelings that come in. And so we want to be careful whom we want to share our dreams with. And that is so wonderful, absolutely powerful, to be in a mastermind group like this. But you know, everyone wants, you know, the greatness that you see for yourself. They encourage you, they support you, they want it for you too. So it actually magnifies it for you. But anybody else that you shared with who is just on the opposite side, obviously, also cannot necessarily take your dream from you when you're strong enough, but they definitely, with their kind of beliefs and energy, they can still influence you too on a subliminal and on a deeper level, just like this mass mind consciousness of fear and loss of hope and disillusionment that we kind of feel even in the ether, just in the air around us, because of the kind of economy and situation that we have, especially in this country right now. So that's why I find these particular calls and what you provide, it's your team call, but especially these daily calls, why they're so, so powerful to really help us to just stay with our dreams, to get confirmation, get support. And it will constantly just nourish the seed that we have within us. So again, thank you. And of course, there are many, many other things that we could also touch upon, but so many, you know, wonderful comments already were shared. And so I just wanted to point that out again. But thank you, everybody, again. And I just love everyone, and I just, also look forward to the day that we can just have a big, wonderful get-together. And I'll be flying back from Germany for that then, in case I'm not here. Okay, so thank you.
Thank you, Marlies. Really always appreciate your comments and your spirit and your love that just radiates from your being through the phone. Really appreciate you. Thank you.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir. Melvin Shaw. Good morning.
I don't know if I made this mentioned this one before, but it's a good thing for a person to write down or try to remember. And it's not what we know that hurts us. It's what we know that's not so. So there's an awful lot of information that many of us have that's incorrect. And it's not so much that we need to learn so much. In many cases, we need to unlearn because we have a lot of misinformation. And therefore, it's so important for ourselves to keep ourselves open for further learning. I think one of the things this call can help many of us do is connect those dots, because we understand things, we know some things, we've heard some things, but there's not a clear understanding. We have not reached that aha moment to where it all comes together, it makes sense, and now it becomes a reality. So, keeping our mind open and constantly looking for other things that we can add to that to have those aha moments are very, very, very important. Back to you, Paul.
Melvin, I really appreciate you pointing that out, and it's fascinating that something like that, what you just talked about, some additional clarification, some additional insight on a topic or an idea or a principle can happen, can just be like one little teeny part of a call like this. And if we're open and we're receptive in participating actively with our minds open, I can tell everyone on this line that happens for me every single on almost every single call. In fact, I think every single call I have a new little flash of insight. Just to give you an example, Doc Fran earlier made one little comment in what he was talking about that is causing me to really ponder something. He was talking about how we are all a part of a bigger whole, and he was sharing about how, you know, whatever company we're in, we have the ability and maybe even the responsibility to take action for the benefit of the entire group. And if we do not take action and move forward, we're actually holding people back. And I want to share something with everybody on the call. Last night, the company that I'm with gave away $25,000. This is something that they do every month. And do you know who won the $25,000? An individual. Okay, I sponsored somebody who sponsored somebody who sponsored somebody. So he's three tiers away from me. The gentleman's name is Tommy. He lives over in North Carolina. This guy just joined my company, at the end of last month, the last day of the month. So here we are, what is today? 9 days after he joins the company, he is now $25,000 richer. This guy, he's got a six-year-old daughter, he's a single father, he works for Dish Network, and I had a chance to talk to this gentleman last night, and here, just how this has just totally changed his life. I mean, he was so excited, he couldn't sleep. This is just such a huge thing in his life. And here's the thought: what if I had made the choice or gone into the agreement that I didn't want to pick up the phone and talk to people about my company that day that I sponsored the individual that led to Tommy coming into this company? What if I had made the choice that for whatever reason I would rather watch TV or do something else? The point I'm trying to make here is that our decisions in life, they're about much more than just us as individuals. A lot of times we think, well, if I don't develop myself, if I don't take action, I'm just hurting myself. Not true, folks. Absolutely not true. What Doc Fran was pointing out is that we impact so many people around us, people that we haven't even met yet. And so our decision to take action, as Oscar mentioned that word several times, action, action, action. If we take action, we have the ability, and we don't even know. I mean, I had no idea that somebody was going to be $25,000 richer as a result of me being where I needed to be and saying the words I needed to say and just performing the actions that I perform on a daily basis that a lot of times don't feel heroic and don't feel, you know, that exciting or, you know, that out of the norm, just doing the things that I know I need to do, taking action, trying to be better, being in the right place, saying the things that in the best way that I know how. Now this individual is $25,000 richer. So this one little piece that Doc Fran mentioned is really helping me. It's helped to illuminate for me this principle, this truth that, folks, we are – it's not just about us. It really is. It's about so much more. And when we really realize that, I think it can be an incredible fuel to our fire to understand that there are people out there waiting for us to be a blessing in their lives, and people they know and people they know and people they know. And our decision to move or not move is going to have a much broader scope than we have the ability, I think, to visualize or conceptualize. So that's one piece of enlightenment that's happened for me on the call today. Anyone else?
Hey, Paul. John, yes. From Chicago.
Hey, yeah. Good morning, John.
Good morning. It reminds me of one of my favorite all-time movies is It's a Wonderful Life. And in that movie, they say this tremendous line that one man's life touches so many. And I think you just illustrated that just by what you just said. We don't know how many lives we touch by what we do or what we don't do. back to you.
Yeah, very, very good point. Thank you for that. And yeah, that is a, that movie does demonstrate that. Yes, absolutely. Anyone else? We have 1 minute left. But you could take two if you have something important to say, or three maybe.
Well, this is Bill Winch. I just want to ask you a question. Yesterday,
yes.
You talked about you had ordered something from Amazon for $40, which was like the secrets of before the Think and Grow Rich were published. Were those, that information, is that in the 1939 edition, or is that something that was written before, or exactly what is that information that you ordered yesterday?
From what I understand, it was the original manuscript that Napoleon Hill wrote after his research, and the book, I believe, is 435 pages. And so I think it's called the Law of Success, or the Laws of Success, or something like that. So Think and Grow Rich came shortly after that manuscript. And I don't know that there's going to be that much more treasure in that book, but I wanted to buy it and find out.
And the name of it, well, you don't remember exactly the name of it?
I could find it real quick here. If I go to eBay real quick, Laws of Success. I think Marlise mentioned this a few calls back. Law of Success. Let me see if I can find it. Napoleon Hill, Law of Success. I think that's what it's called. Law of Success. From the 1925 Manuscript Lessons. See, Think and Grow Rich was copyrighted, I think, in 1939. And this book is from the 1925 manuscript.
Hey, thank you very much.
You bet. You bet. All right, folks. Well, listen, I really appreciate the contribution. I appreciate the enlightenment. I appreciate the inspiration. I'm excited about life. We really have some beautiful, magnificent, wonderful things in store for us in the future and now. We should be grateful for all of the wonderful things we have, and also understand that more is on its way. And I'm grateful to be a part of this group. Let us get out there today. We have a full day ahead of us. It is Friday, Fabulous Friday. Let us be people of faith. Believe in yourself. Believe in your goal. Believe in the infinite. Let us take action, as Oscar has reminded us, action, action, action. Let's move forward through any temporary setback, and let's be where we need to be. Let's do what we need to do. Let's perform the action we need to perform so that we do not fail ourselves and all of those people who we do not know may be waiting for our influence. Love you. Believe in you. Make it a great day. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.